This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very lovely morning to you and yours. April the 2nd, 2021, for one of the locals. We got baseball yesterday. A lot going on. Big Knicks game tonight. Kristaps Porzingis apparently really misses New York City a great deal, which angers me. But there's going to be hijinks. There's going to be fun. Tim Kirkjian is going to join us at 7 o'clock. Get to know your co-host at 6:30 this morning. So make a note of that. It's 6:30, not 6:45. 6:30. This morning, we say good morning to the guys. Good morning, one, Christopher Canty.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm doing well this morning, although I feel like the April Fool's joke was on me when I walked out my door because that cold slapped me in the face. But other than that, it's good. Other than that, it's a good morning.
All right, so you're doing well. Rick, how are you doing? I feel like you're energized but maybe stressed this morning.
No, I feel good. I mean, the stress is, I mean, you can feel the stress. I mean, the stress is getting to know your co-host, which for apparently you just decided to start, you know, writing up now this morning, which makes no sense to me.
Well, when hang on now. We're doing it at what time?
6:30.
Okay. And it is now exactly what time?
It is 5:01.
Okay. Four of the five questions are written. Why are you so upset by this? It's not like I'm doing it the commercial break before we go on and do it.
Well, I just figured that you would have done it yesterday just so you're ready so you can just be focused on the show.
Not to mention
the fact that I should have a one-game lead right now in the NL Central, but I don't.
Oh, God.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know.
Really?
All right, listen, you asked for it. This is what Minnesota's got to close that game out. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you've got to be kidding. Right? This is just like fun. We're gonna poke fun at how neurotic and crazy you are. There's no possible way that the Alex Colome disaster in the ninth inning, who's on my fantasy team, by the way. There's no way that really bothered you yesterday. There's no chance.
No, it absolutely 100% bothered me yesterday.
I mean,
every game counts. Every game matters.
Chris, I can't. I mean, you should just be locked in like a padded room. You can't be this neurotic about everything.
I don't know why you're surprised, Dave. This is who he is. From the minute that we made those predictions, this is what Rick DiPietro was going to do during baseball season. You know how much he loves baseball anyway. I mean, but he also wants to be right. He loves doing that too. So, yeah, he's going to follow all of his picks and make sure that he's ahead of us in the standings.
But it's not like your Cardinals pick wasn't great. I mean, they destroyed Luis Castillo. They were great yesterday. Arenado had hits. Goldschmidt, DeJong. I mean, they all did well. So I don't understand why he's so upset.
I didn't say I was upset. I mean, it's a great morning. It could have been a much better morning if they did what they had to do. And they could have closed that game on the ninth, but hey,
speaking of doing
stuff
what
happens.
They had to do and couldn't get it done. That's New York Yankees yesterday, who had opportunity after opportunity, and you thought we're going to find a way to win that game, and they did not. That's a tough loss on opening day, Chris.
Well, it's an annoying loss, Dave. I mean, just because you had so many opportunities. You had bases juiced in the seventh inning with Aaron Judge, one out, and he bangs into a double play. And then in the ninth inning, you got runners at the corners with LeMahieu up at bat. And, you know, he ends up grounding one to one that gets Talkman thrown out at home plate. Like, it's just annoying not to be able to take advantage of the traffic that you created. And then, you know, just to have things play out the way it did in extra innings, even though the bullpen was good as far as I was concerned. I mean, just with the rule and the way things happened in the 10th and then not having the bats come through in the bottom of the 10th inning. Like, that's just – it's frustrating because the one thing that we talked about this Yankees team – last year and the year before that was being able to get timely hits in the postseason. And to start out the regular season with the squad going 0-9 with runners in scoring position and the top four batters going for a combined 1 of 18, that's just annoying.
I hate that rule.
I hate
you guys. I absolutely hate that rule.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You talk about being ill-prepared for the show today. I forgot that that was the rule in the 10th inning. And I was like, oh, for God's sakes. We can't have that in the 11th or the 12th. We have to go in the 10th inning with the California rule. I despise that rule.
Yeah, and I think it hurts a team like the Yankees, too. I mean, their bullpen was lights out last night. I mean, yesterday afternoon, their bullpen was great. I mean, Nelson was really good. I mean, it's not his fault runner starts off on second. I didn't think Aaron Judge read. I don't know how. I watched that play over and over again. It didn't look like Aaron Judge got a good read on that Grichuk double. It looked like initially he turned to his right and then kind of swung himself around to the left. But I don't. The Yankees bullpen is so good. You kind of lose the benefit of having a great bullpen by starting that runner on second base.
I hate that rule. Oh, my God. I can't believe this is where we are. I forgot. I actually forgot about it. I was like, oh, we're back here. You don't even get an inning or two in the extra innings. You're right to this stupid rule.
Yeah, I can't stand it. Honestly, and I'm with you. Like, if you want a short, do we need 16-inning games, 17-inning games? No, I don't think we need 16, 17-inning games. But, I mean, you're right. Can we get at least, one or two innings to try to figure it out before we start with the gimmick, runner on second base? I get what they're trying to do, but I mean, I don't know. I do not like that rule one bit. But we can't have the DH. That's my favorite. We'll start a runner on second in the 10th, but God forbid we do what's in the best interest of.
But it's not like they don't want the DH. They want the DH. They just won't agree to terms to come up with the designated hitter in the National League.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the point the players are making is it shouldn't be a bargaining chip. It's good for everybody. I mean, you're paying all this money for your pitchers. Like, the last thing, they didn't swing bats last year. There was a universal DH. So they didn't swing bats last year. Now, all of a sudden, you're coming back. You're going from 60 games to 162. It's going to be hard enough to get through those innings when your pitching staff is healthy. Now, God forbid, because my pitcher has to hit,
yep,
I'm going to lose him for an extended period of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, Chris, can I say something about your Yankees? It's a loss. I'm sure you're not happy about it. And I'm not saying you are like this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this all over the place with the Yankee fans. Can we calm down? I mean, you're the Yankees. You know you're going to go to the postseason. Odds are distinctly in your advantage you're going to win the division. So Stanton was not good. So Judge was not good. So LeMahieu didn't come up with the big hit. It's one of 162. My God, even you who panics waited until 18 games in a couple of years ago. Can we please calm down? And there were shadows all game, and it was freezing cold yesterday.
Yeah, it was, Dave. I mean, listen, I'm not going to jump out of the window because we lost on opening day. And even though the lineup struck out 13 times, which is an opening day record, I just think that this is a team, from a talent standpoint, that should be able to win somewhere in the ballpark of 95 to 100 games. So it's hard to overreact to one game coming out on the losing end of it. It just is. But yeah, I mean, I get it, man. Yankees fans have such high expectations for this team. And after hearing all offseason that the Yankees are the team to beat in the American League and that, Pecota's projecting them to have the most wins above replacement of any team in baseball, like, it's just one of those things where the fans are expecting this team to kind of start out playing at a championship level. And you got to remember that the season, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This Yankees team has plenty of time to figure it out and get it together. But just based on talent alone, the Yankees are going to be able to have a ticket to the dance and get into the postseason. So I don't think fans should be overreacting right now.
DJ LeMahieu's been the best player in baseball over the last couple of years as runners in scoring position.
Yes.
I mean, he's got the opportunity with Tauchman at third to end the game. And he rolls one over to third base. And give Tauchman credit. I mean, right.
If they're stealing second and third, what was that? What is that, Romano? What is that? Every time the guy is going to make a pitch, he like tries to touch the ground with his butt. What is that?
He
about?
Does a squat. It's part of his motion. Does the squat? I have no idea. Why are you asking me? I don't know.
You didn't find that strange yesterday?
I did. Of course, it's strange.
I saw he does it, and then I'm like, well, there's no way he's going to do that with runners on base. The guy's more paying attention to that than he is Tauchman. Tauchman's running all over the bases.
Yeah, I loved it. Tauchman right in, doesn't mess around. Let's go. Steal second. Thanks for coming. So that's not going to happen. Like, DJ LeMahieu is going to be what he's been. He could be one of my favorite baseball players in Major League Baseball. Here's what would concern me a little bit is, and again, it's
glad you said
one.
Major League Baseball. It's concerned you were going to say your favorite players in another sport.
Oh, you know how much I love I love the KBO too. I've got KBOs right up there.
Right. Name me a player in the KBO.
Altair. Dinos.
Aaron Altair.
Championship team.
Yeah, he was great with the Mets back in the day.
He's great with the Dinos. Stop yourself. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Championship dinos. Here's a couple things. It felt like what we've seen over the last couple of years, especially in the postseason, like one of those typical kind of Yankees losses, right? Where big moments, you don't get the big hit that you need, which they didn't do yesterday. Perfect chance in the seventh and the perfect chance in the ninth. Stanton struggled. Just so fans know, you booing him on opening day, that you're not doing yourselves any favors. He's not going anywhere.
It's opening day, for God's sakes. I mean, if this is game 57 and you've seen this all season long, fine. It's opening day.
But you're not helping him. Like, Giancarlo Stanton is not going anywhere. He's going to be a Yankee. He's going to be your DH. So the more you boo him, the worse he's probably going to play, because he already knows that there's a ton of pressure on him. Okay? That's the second thing. Third thing is Gleyber Torres is not a great shortstop.
No.
It's not a great shortstop.
We've said that for a long time.
But other than that, Gerrit Cole was great. I mean, he struggled with the slider, but it's freezing cold out. I mean, it's like, we all get that. He was really good. And then Gary Sanchez was awesome yesterday.
He was. Gary Sanchez looked great. I mean, hit the home run, threw out the runner, trying to take second. He looked
infield
great.
Single.
Yeah.
He's the one that drew the walk.
Yep. He looked great.
Like, every question going into that game, like, can he catch Gerrit Cole? Check. How was his defense? It was really good. How would he infield hit? I mean, you name it. I mean, could he hit? He couldn't hit lefties last year. First swing on a fastball, which he couldn't hit last year. Home run. So, I mean, there were a lot of good things that came out of yesterday. It leaves a bad taste.
Your bullpen
in your
was good too. I mean, you didn't pitch Chapman, and you obviously you don't have Britton, and your bullpen still looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, your bullpen was great. Like, I mean, there was a lot of positives that came out of yesterday's game. I think the only thing that leaves a bad taste in your mouth was just how things unfolded in those. Well, no, they lost, but how they lost. Like, in those two innings, when you have, I mean, yep. You have your best hitters up, and then you go out, I mean, in the 10th, I mean, with a whimper, I mean, without a whimper in the 10th. I mean, the 10th inning was embarrassing. Boom, boom, boom. Thanks for coming.
Yep.
And then you had Aaron Judge, I mean, in the 9th, 97, middle. See ya. Let's punch him out. That's the top of your line. Those are the guys that are supposed to get the job done, and they didn't. But again, it's 162.
It's 162.
Relax.
I will say this. The same way you shouldn't freak out that Judge, LeMahieu, Stanton, all those guys were not good yesterday, you shouldn't be overly crazed and excited. You can be optimistic, but you shouldn't be overly crazed and excited. The Gary Sanchez was great. It's one game. Can we wait till we have a little more of an idea how this team is going to be? We know they're going to be good. So calm down. My God, yesterday.
Well, it's opening day. You know, Chris was excited. Everyone
still
was excited.
You should still be excited. At least they played.
Well, yeah, at least they played. But I understand it. Like, I mean, everyone's been waiting for this. Like, you've been like, you can't wait. And all of a sudden, you sit on your couch, 1:00. You can't wait for this game. And it was a little disappointing. I understand. I wouldn't freak out. But
little disappointed, fine. You have the right to be a little disappointed. To have this, Stanton stinks. He's a bum. Look at Judge. He can't stay healthy, and now he's doing this yesterday. It's like, come on, stop it. I mean, it was all over the place. Angry, upset, bothered Yankee fans. Got to calm down a little bit.
Well, it doesn't help when we have a bunch of Yankees fans on the show, and you just start trolling them via text message yesterday.
I did
like
nothing
a bad guy.
Wrong.
Oh, he took to Twitter. That wasn't a text. He was on Twitter trolling me.
Well, he went after you on Twitter.
It's not like I did it on my own. I did it in response to you, because I can't help it. I think I might be a bad guy.
What do you mean you think?
Guy.
I think we've established
guy.
That. You're a bad guy.
I think, in fact, I might be a bad guy. I apologize.
I think I'm a bad guy.
Add that to your questions. Guessing to, because apparently now it's guessing to know your co-host instead of getting to know. So you just throw
like
random
that.
Questions
we,
in there.
We could change that. It's a great idea.
Throw that. What is Dave?
We could still use the same initials.
A, good guy. B, okay guy. C, really bad guy.
I think I'm a bad guy. Really bad guy?
Now, I'm leaning towards really bad guy right now. For what you do this to your closest friends, though. That's what makes you real, like a dangerous
human
being.
So here's what he tweeted. I couldn't help it. Because Chris tweets, the game is set up for at the Judge 44 to be the hero. Got to get runs across here. Hashtag Yankees. And like the second I saw it, he bounced into the double play. And I tweeted, I don't think that worked out the way you were hoping. I couldn't help it.
He's a bad guy, Rico. I don't know what else to say, man.
But it's almost worse.
Clearly,
than a bad
it didn't
guy.
Work out the way that I wanted it to work out.
I just wanted people to understand.
I think they get it. I think the people. Yankees fans get it, Dave.
I can't
really
help
do.
It. Now, here's the thing that I don't understand, though, with you, Rick. You claim to dislike the Yankees. The baseball's here regardless whether they win or lose. Why is my tweet and text on the group chain so bothersome to you when in actuality you're not supposed to like the Yankees?
Well, I don't like the Yankees, but
okay,
I like
then
Chris.
You should be right beside me.
No,
maybe
I shouldn't.
You won't do it, but you should appreciate my level of trolling.
No, because I like Chris and I like RJ. And these are our friends. I mean, it's one thing to troll to be a troll on Twitter is fine. But, I mean, to just go blatantly just attack your closest friends.
Well, now here's the thing. You say you love me and you love Chris, yes?
Correct.
Okay. Chris, if there's a moment for him to take huge shots at the New York Football Giants, does he run right through that door?
Oh, he doesn't miss it.
Right through.
He doesn't miss it. Yeah, right there.
I think you're being extremely hypocritical. Where I do it and it's not okay and I'm a bad guy, you do it and it's just funny and you're Rick DiPietro and that's what you do.
How fast do I get through that door? Because the chance that Dave Gettleman signs me for that running back room.
See? And that, even when it's
stop calling
funny,
the football
there.
Giants too, please, would you? There's no other. It's the New York Giants. Stop. There's no more baseball.
But if there's older listeners, like listeners from the 50s that are up early this morning, and I imagine the older person probably is up early, I want to differentiate between the Willie Mays baseball Giants, the Carl Hubbell baseball Giants, and the New York football Giants.
I think we all understand here in 2021 that it is the New York Giants is the football team.
Okay. Point being, you take any exception, any chance you have, and you go right after the Giants, mocking, making fun of, running back two, who does that, Gettleman, I think he's doing a great job, that's you. So when I do the same thing, why am I now the bad guy?
Because I do it for show content, and you guys have made fun of my Jets for how many years straight? Every single day, just every day you can't help yourselves.
I don't like the Yankees.
I occasionally throw in a jab.
I don't like the Yankees, I'm sorry. Chris, I apologize for everything I will do the entire year. I feel badly. I can't help it. I'm a bad human being. I apologize.
You would think you learned your lesson from trolling fan bases, Dave, after what you did to Gundling in 2017 with that Carson Wentz injury. You would think you would learn from that.
I'm just saying. Help it. You're right.
Maybe you're using your powers to, and it ends up benefiting me and my Yankees because we end up winning the World Series this year.
Well, hasn't for the last 10 years.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
They got the garbage at 5:15 this morning?
No, garbage. No, you know garbage is Thursday morning.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you weren't missing, and I was concerned you wouldn't be back in time. So where'd you go?
Bottles I had to get my
cans?
Tea. No, I had to get my tea.
I'll get your tea.
You know what my wife did to me again yesterday?
You have caffeine at this hour, or are you going decaf?
No, caffeine. A little green
you
tea.
You want to get going, huh?
Some nice honey, yeah. Fired up a little bit. And I've been up since 2.
Wakes up at 2.
Okay, so remember we had the last protein shake debacle? With the lactation protein?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, how'd that work, by the way? Were you lactating after?
I had an occasional letdown.
Uh-huh.
Like if the baby started crying and I could, like, a little bit.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
A little letdown. So that all happened, and then we made the video and everything else. So I just said to her, I said, listen, Cass, you know, like, by the time I get to that protein shake, I'm all over the place. Like, I'm trying to get the kids in school and breakfast and everything else. Like, just make sure if you're gonna switch up the protein, just put it in a different spot. Because we already had the one mix-up. Let's not have it happen again. She's like, oh, don't worry. I'm done with the lactation protein. I'm just going to use the one you use. No big deal. So this is weeks ago. So everything's fine. So a couple days ago, I run out of the protein. So now Cass has been using the protein. So I have my protein shake in the morning. So I just figured, just naturally, like she to have her protein shake, she'll just put the one we've been using in the cabinet. So I make the protein shake yesterday. And Mickey just showed up. My mom, Mickey, works down for
on,
a couple
stop
days.
Stop it. Ridiculous.
So I'm sitting there.
Chris is just shaking his head.
What am I supposed to do? Dave?
I know, Chris. I feel the same way
as
you.
Mom, Mickey Rourke. What are you supposed to
it's
do?
It's horrendous. The
she
fact that you call
it.
Your
she's
mother
like
Mickey Rourke is. I mean, if there's a hell, you're going right there. By the way, you could say I'm awful.
Where
I make
gasoline
fun of
draws
teams.
On Dave. Gasoline draws down here.
I make fun of the Yankees. I make fun of Carson Wentz and the injury. I mean, you make fun of your own mother for God's sakes.
I'm telling you right now. My parents are divorced. If I took a picture off the computer of Dick Vitale and Mickey Rourke, I could just put them in our Christmas card as mom and dad. People wouldn't even notice the difference. I'm telling you right now. So anyway, so Mickey shows up. So she's in the kitchen, and I make the protein shake, and I'm sitting there, and we're talking. And I take the first sip of the protein shake, and I'm like, this is not chocolate protein, because I've been having the chocolate protein. I'm like, maybe it's vanilla. So I drink, like, the first glass of it. I'm like, this is not the same protein that I've been having. So I said, Cass, is this, what are we doing here? Is this, did you change proteins or something? She goes, no, your protein's in there. So I go over to the cabinet, the one I used, it's not lactation protein. It's now called booby body protein.
Nice.
You're drinking booby body?
I drank booby body.
Nice.
I don't know if she's trying to pass the buck with the bread. I have no idea what she's trying to do. But again, booby body protein I had yesterday.
Terrific. And you do not like it, for the record, huh?
I did not love it.
Okay.
Wow.
Here's the question for you, and we'll get to the Yankees and Aaron Boone in just a moment. If you drank it and you're like, this is delicious, do you now on the daily drink booby body, or do you say, I can't do that because God knows what will happen moving
forward?
Yeah,
I couldn't. No, I can't do that. I mean, it's called booby body for a reason, isn't it?
So if you drank it and it was like, oh, you're like, oh, this is like the Wendy's Frappuccino. This is the greatest thing I've ever had. You don't have it. You won't.
No, I can't have it. I think I would choose to just drink the regular one that I've been drinking.
Okay. Even if the booby body was better.
Yeah, but it's better for, I mean, it's described as it's for busy moms on the go. I don't fall into that category.
So if they had one for busy dads on the go, that you would have.
Yes.
For busy.
Wow, busy moms on the
for
go.
For busy moms on the go. That's a great slogan. Oh, my God. Let's take a listen to Aaron Boone on the first loss of the season for the Yankees.
They didn't end the way you want to, where you're shaking hands, but it was definitely special having a crowd back in there, and you know, even though we're 20% capacity, you could feel their energy and feel them waiting to erupt. You know, obviously we had some chances to take that and just couldn't break through there, but it was definitely something that we don't take for granted, being able to have people back in the building, and hopefully we can continue to build on that.
All right, so that's a normal reaction. Disappointed, one game, not the end of the world. More from Aaron Boone. Any concern about the offense after one game?
No. We'll be fine. Again, you know, we had our chances. We're a hit or two away from having a big day on a day where at the back end of the game it got a little bit difficult to see. So, no, as long as we can continue to post, and we'll get that rolling sooner rather than later.
All right, so he gives the appropriate answers. And then lastly, and this one really bothered me, Stanton getting booed. Here's Aaron Boone.
As I've answered over and over again this spring about him and why I'm so excited about, you know, the year I think he's going to go out and have, is because I just think he's so disciplined. His process is so good. He game plans and he's so diligent and disciplined to it. Today was a tough day for him, but no, I don't worry about it. He's too talented. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows what the league's trying to do to him. And I think that'll play itself out over time. The biggest thing for him is going to be able to making sure he's able to post all the time.
Chris, if you are a Yankees fan and you are booing Stanton after game one, or taking to Twitter and just furious and he stinks and he's a bum, can you almost say you're not a Yankees fan, or in fact you're a bad Yankees fan?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I mean, Yankees fans have really high expectations for their players, and when they don't play up to them, they're going to let them know about it. I mean, Aaron Judge talked about that a little bit post-game, about how they didn't get the job done yesterday. So I think that just comes with the territory. Like, Stanton has to understand, like, he waived his no trade to come to the New York Yankees. This was a part of that. I mean, that was a huge deal, blockbuster trade, and everybody thought, okay, we're getting an NL MVP caliber player. And outside of last year's postseason, he really hadn't played up to that since he got here. So, I mean, I can understand that. I'm not going to say they're not Yankees fans. I'm just telling Yankees fans, don't jump out the window. It's only one game. And we got 161 more of these to go. So it's just, everybody needs to pump the brakes and relax a little bit. Yesterday's loss is not some ominous sign of things to come this season. This team is going to be really, really good.
Giancarlo Stanton is now the new A-Rod for the Yankees.
It's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, first of all, I mean, you guys are athletes. If you go up and you fail in a moment where you're going to have 580 or 600 at-bats in the course of a season, it's opening day, it's freezing cold, the shadows are an issue, and you have a bad day, now you can't just have the bad day and go back to the dugout. You have to be booed by your own fan base? That's a bad job.
I promise you this, Dave, whatever the fan base is doing to him, they're not going to be as hard on Stanton as he's going to be on himself. They're just not. Like, the expectations that he has on himself, the pressure that he puts on himself, like, that's on a whole nother level. So, I mean, It never bothered me as a player when the fans booed. Like, it just wasn't one of those things. It's what it is. Like, you're a professional athlete. You know that they're going to cheer for you when things are good, and it's not going to be great in terms of their reaction when things are bad. But that comes with the territory. That comes with playing in New York, and that's one of the things that Rick and I always say. Not everybody is built to play in New York.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, though, about what Aaron Boone said is I don't necessarily know if when I watch Stanton at the plate, especially yesterday, do I agree with he goes up there with a plan. Like, yesterday was a lot about how he looked at the plate.
Like, he looked overmatched.
Exactly.
Listen, but I think you can rationally and fairly say, Rick, he didn't look good. But to attack the guy after one game is where I have an issue.
No, I don't disagree with you. You're not doing yourself any favors. I mean, the fan base wants him to have success. If he has success, I mean, ultimately it's going to only help your team win and get you to where you need to be. You saw what he did in the playoffs last year. He was awesome in the playoffs for you last year. If you want to win a World Series, Stanton's going to play. He's going to be your DH. So you're going to need him to play well. Booing him on opening day is not helping anybody. But I will say this, Dave. You want to know what's worse than the home crowd boo? Is the home crowd mock cheer when you make like a save where they just dump the puck in from the other blue line.
Because now they're mocking you.
Exactly right. It's the worst.
They are now mocking you. Yeah, that's got to be horrendous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Chris, I can feel that there's a little bit of anxiety with Rick about getting to know your co-host at 6:30 this morning. Do you feel
that? No, I don't feel that at all. What makes you say that?
I think he's very stressed out, and I think that's why he's yelling at me. Why did I write the questions, what he considers to be after when I should have done them? Like, why else would he care? It's the same playing field. If I wrote them at 6:27, you're still going up against him in a battle of get-to-know-your-co-host. Shouldn't make a difference.
Well, he just wants you to put the requisite effort into the questions to make sure that it's an awesome segment. He's looking out for the welfare of our listeners, Dave.
But
he
I
wants
think
the show to be as good as it can be.
I think the questions are very good. But even if they're not, it's still a competition. And that will make entertaining radio. If he loses, and that's what I hope happens. I actually hope you win because he has a lot of negativity towards me. And he is becomes just horrified when he loses that I do. I haven't catered anything towards you, Chris. I would never do that. I'm a man of honor. But, yeah, I do hope you win today. I hope you win.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. But I don't think that's exactly what Rick is after. He just wants to make you look like the guy that doesn't know your co-host as well as we know you, because he doesn't believe you listen to us when we're talking, but we always pay attention to you.
We'll find out at 6:30 this morning. Let's go to Jose.
Yeah, if you have the questions done by 6:30.
They're done.
Will they be done?
Will they be done now? Is the question.
Look, here. There you go. If you can make them out, you can get some answers. There you have it. All right, Jose and Rahway. Good morning, Jose. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. I was going to ask you if you were a Yankees fan, you would have been pissed at Giancarlo Stanton, but I just thought about one better. If Francisco Lindor, 3 years from now, doesn't win you a World Series with the amount of money you're paying him, are you going to be pissed?
Well, hang on a second.
It depends on how he plays, Jose.
Well, if he stays healthy. You can't put all the blame on one guy and say if Lindor is hitting, 290 28 home runs.
That's
ridiculous. I will tell you this. If Lindor goes 0 for 5 whenever the Mets start their season and doesn't play well, I'm not going to freak out the way Yankees fan have on Stanton.
Yeah, but it's
in his
different
first
though.
Game of the season.
Well, but it's different. Jose, that's not a good comparison. What makes this similar to the A-Rod situation was that you already had your shortstop. Who was your guy? You already had Derek Jeter. Now, A-Rod didn't come and play shortstop. He came and played third because he wanted to be a Yankee. But you already had your right fielder. And he was cheap, and he's your guy. You already had Aaron Judge. You didn't need another right fielder. Who, by the way, can't play in the field anymore. Now he's your DH. And he affects you financially because you don't have any flexibility because you're staying under the luxury cap threshold. And lineup-wise, he can't play anywhere else.
But I'm bothered. I mean, a guy has one game and doesn't play well. Yeah, I am bothered.
This is an accumulation, Dave. This isn't just one game.
Well, you know what? It's not. And I'll tell you why. Because last I saw Stanton, he was the best offensive player on the Yankees. So at least give him a little bit. I mean, he was phenomenal last year in the postseason.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you. I don't think booing Giancarlo Stanton on opening day is in the best interest of Giancarlo Stanton or you, the fan, because you need him to play well. You may hate him. But the reality is he's going to be in your lineup every day. And he's a big part of your lineup.
I don't know. Maybe baseball is different, but I don't feel like the fans have that much impact on the player.
Like,
I don't want to give the fans that much credit. You know what I mean? Being able to affect whether or not John Carlos is going to be a productive player with the Yankees this season. That's a little bit much to me.
No, I'm telling you right now, that's part of why. Why do you think people say it's hard to play in New York? For the response that happened, for what happened yesterday is why it's hard to play in New York.
No, I mean, listen, I played in New York. I won a championship.
Yeah, but you played in New York on a football team. Baseball is a different animal than football, hockey, and in other sports.
Okay.
It's a bunch of individual matchups is what it is.
Okay. I mean, I always felt like the toughest part of playing in New York was the media and how everybody reacts to things, how they take things out of context with sound bites. I always felt like that was the toughest part to navigate about being a professional athlete in New York. The boos, the cheers, like, I mean, that is what it is. But maybe it's different in baseball.
Well, pressure in baseball is different.
Well, you're on an island in baseball. Like, defense stinks, Chris, right? You're on the field, defense is horrendous.
Yeah.
They might even cater things towards you, but you're walking off the field and they're going to boo the defense. You guys stink. You guys are awful. We're embarrassed by you. It's bad to be a Giants fan because you guys stink. That's a group of 11.
Sure.
Right? For that Matt Dodge moment where he messed up that game and Coughlin, you know, read him the riot act. That's what it feels like it's like right now every single day for Stanton when he has a bad game.
Okay. I'll take you guys' word for it.
Yeah, it's more like being a kicker. Like being a baseball player would be more like being a field goal kicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's not conducive. Like, that kind of pressure is not conducive to being effective at the plate. Like, trying harder and, like, really pressing is the opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah, I think it becomes more difficult then. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem, our guy. Good morning, Lonnie.
Oh, good morning, family. It's funny that you said that, Dave, because I was going to ask today, like, officially, am I you guys' guy? Because, you know, I try my best to call in, ask good questions. God. I listen
without,
every day.
Without a doubt, Lonnie. Without a doubt,
all right,
you're
there
our
we go.
Guy.
Lonnie, you want co-host there status? We'll give you co-host status. Whatever you want. You're family, buddy.
Hey, Rico, I didn't want to ask for that too early, but hey, you know, I appreciate it. But today, I called in. First of all, Rico, I'm good on the ball gag.
It's for your own safety, Lonnie. It's for your own safety.
I'm getting you a chastity belt if that's the case.
And Lonnie, I don't want to wake the kids up. You got to understand.
Oh, my God.
I got to keep you quiet.
Lonnie,
but anyway.
You know what, Lonnie? You were my guy. Chris loved you. Why would you do that? It's like you went to the ground game realize. With a Gracie brother. Why would you do that?
Listen, it's the 5 o'clock hour. We got to get free range Ricky going.
Oh,
but
God.
Today I called in because actually I'm asking all of you guys, but I know CC is a Yankee fan, such as I. Not too long ago, I think like maybe after the last preseason game, Judge had put out a tweet saying, you know, the team is hungry, I'm hungry, et cetera, et cetera. We want to get this 28th championship. But to me at this point, hungry is not good enough. Like, I feel like they should be starving, like almost like Milo this yesterday morning when he bodied three Wendy's sandwiches. So, like, I feel like the team should be at this point, like the ribs should be touching, like, staying hungry is not good enough anymore. And the fact that they did what they did last night, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not jumping off the wall because of what happened yesterday. But it's just like they keep leaving people on base. That doesn't help.
What do you mean they keep, Lonnie? Lonnie, they played one game.
No, I'm talking about from last year as well, Dave.
Oh,
for the last couple years, they leave people on base when we need the hits. And then it's like they keep swinging for the fences. Well, all you got to do is put the ball in play. Put the ball in play. Sometimes I think that's why baseball is kind of it's a slow sport as well now, too, because everybody's just swinging for the fences. It's either a strikeout or a home run. It's not, let me try to put this ball in play. Let me hit it to left field and see if I can move this runner over at least to third base if we say we only got one out. If you only got one out, why are you trying to swing to the fences? Just move the person to third base so that way at least the next person, and if you're on base at this point as well, now you got two people on base. So that way somebody else could try to, you know, at least get y'all home. And it doesn't take swinging for the fences to run up the score.
But that's what they do.
The
Lonnie, that analytically, and thanks for the call and have a great weekend, that's what they do. And I don't understand why you're going to call us and after one game be smashing your head against the wall when this is the way the Yankees are built.
Well, and that's a part of what's in question now, Dave. I mean, how they're built. I mean, you know, from a philosophical standpoint, I understand that most people in baseball are going in the direction that the Yankees have gone the last decade in terms of what they want this team to be. But you have to ask the question, whether or not that's the right approach because you're not getting the results that you're looking for. I mean, in 2017, Brian Cashman alluded to this dynastic window that the team was entering into, talking about the Baby Bombers and all of that, going to Game 7 in the ALCS to the and losing to the eventual World Series champion Astros. We thought that was the beginning of something special for this team. And we're talking about three seasons later and a new manager, and we still haven't been able to get back to that point to be able to get to a World Series. So as a Yankees fan, I feel the frustration that Lonnie's going through. Like, I understand it. And you would hope that things would be a little bit different. You would hope that things would change. And just with the way that that game went yesterday, with so many chances to win it late and to not be able to come through with the big hit, again, I'm not going to say that this is a sign that this is going to be a doomed season, but this is one of those things that's just kind of annoying because we've seen it when it matters the most and this team come up small in big spots.
Yeah, but more often than not. I mean, 4 out of 10 times. I mean, you give DJ LeMahieu that opportunity with Talkman on third base. That game, the game is over. Right? Like, I mean, it's sure. What he's done over the last couple of years. He's been the best in baseball with runners in scoring position. But again, I mean, you got to – it's game one. I understand that there's some built-up frustration over the last couple of years of how things have gone and the fact that you're not back in a World Series and everything else. I understand that, but, I mean, there was a lot of positive things that happened yesterday.
Sure there were, and it's one game. It's one game. John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to quick comment. I took away, I think people fail to realize how lights out that kid was at the end of the game. I mean, to be able to go against that lineup and just shut him down, I mean, I couldn't even see those balls, let alone try and track them. And it leads me to my question to Rick and Chris. You know, I've heard so many times that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. Can you guys compare that? I mean, do you guys believe that? I mean, the decision-making as the pitch is winding up and the ball's coming in, as a fact like being a goalie, a breakaway or a hard slap shot or a goal line stance, do you guys believe that it's the hardest thing to do in sports? Because I truly, after watching that guy shut down our lineup the way he did, I kind of convinced me. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Merriweather, what he did in the ninth.
He was great, huh?
He was phenomenal. Yeah. But, I mean, that's as far as hitting a baseball, I still play baseball, obviously not, you know, at this level, but I would say hitting a baseball at the major league level is, if it's not one, it's 1A.
How about hitting a golf ball? Where does that rank here?
No, hitting a golf ball, I mean, it doesn't move. The ball doesn't move.
Sure, but you're also trying to put it in an exact spot.
Yeah, well, but I mean, as far as that, I would put returning a serve in tennis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably be close. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about going up there. You have no time at all to react. The ball's moving all over the place. I'm telling you, when I used to go to those Ducks games and sit in the bullpen, I would actually, well, guys, like when Danny Graves, who was their closer, would warm up, I would go stand in the batter's box while he was throwing his bullpen. Every single pitch he threw moved. Like it was like it reminded me of being, you know, when you were a kid playing wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Like his fastball was all over the place, and you can't even, like you said, like you can barely even see it.
Yeah. You know, another one, Rico, catching a punt. Catching a punt is not easy.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a really scary proposition.
Yeah,
to have guys bearing down on you and try to catch a ball falling out of the sky.
Catching a punt is not easy.
Yes. I would think that would be terrifying. How scared would you be if you went back to catch a punt? And guys are bearing down on you and about to clobber you, and you have to catch it.
I think I'm fair catching it as soon as the punt is in the air.
I mean, the second the punt goes up, I'd be waving like I'm an air traffic controller.
But you know that if you bobble it, you're going to get – Dave, you know if you bobble the ball when you're trying to catch it,
now I'm going
to
get fair killed. Catch,
you're going to get killed.
Killed.
That's going to be in your mind the entire time that ball is spiraling down.
That's what happened to – I know you guys never saw it. You ever see the movie Lucas? That's what happened to him. Corey Haim? You never saw.
Never saw the movie.
Yeah,
never saw. Missed that one.
Kerry Green.
Yeah, but the punt. What makes the punt so difficult? It's almost like a knuckleball coming down.
Yeah,
that's what makes it so difficult.
Exactly it.
And it's just moving all over the place. I don't know if Dave could catch a punt.
I think I'd have a better chance to catch a punt than Chris.
Yeah, I know, I know I can't catch a punt. I know I can't, so I'm not.
You know what? Listen, you can destroy me all you want. I have very good hands.
No, you don't, Dave. We saw that at Beach Bash. Rosenberg embarrassed you. You have terrible hands.
But Rosenberg was actually like swallowing the ball.
I was throwing the ball as hard as I possibly could. No, you didn't drop just one ball. Stop it.
Rick, how many balls did
I
drop?
That's revisionist history. You dropped several passes.
What is happening? I dropped one.
No, you dropped more than one. I can promise you that. You dropped more than one.
I dropped a one.
I can only remember one, but it was, I mean, it was, by that time I was well served. It was a torrential, it was a monsoon. And
that might have been the hardest I've ever seen it rain.
Ever. And on top of it, one of the most embarrassing setups in the history of any contest we've ever run at ESPN.
No, I don't think one of.
Yes. Yeah, it went from we're going to have machines.
Do you remember the jugs machine? It would like...
Yeah, just spit it out.
It just like dribbled out.
It just dropped over the edge.
Well, we'll just have the guys throw the ball hard to the other guy is what we'll do here. The Michael K. Show's Drop Madness continues today. Have your dials tuned to 98.7 ESPN, 2 o'clock. Be ready to cast your vote for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. And oh my God, there's some delicious Wendy's yesterday. All right. I saw this yesterday. I'm like, come on, you know what? Just do me a favor. Shut up. Really. Shut up. So Porzingis is back at the Garden tonight. He was asked, do you miss being a Knick? Oh, I do, he says. I miss the city. I miss this place. A lot of great memories. Every time I come back, it's so special. A lot of people here still recognize me and show me love and support. It's always so good to come back. Please, give me a break. You forced your way out of here. How am I supposed to feel badly that you miss it and it was a great place and you're respected when you come back here? Give me a break.
Come on, Dave. Stall him out a little bit, man. KP, it wasn't that he didn't like being a Knick. He just didn't like being a part of the organization that was being run into the ground by Phil Jackson. And can you blame him?
Based on how things ended up, he didn't want to be here. He made it
perfectly
clear.
But, Dave, he didn't want to be here because he didn't want to be treated the way that Phil Jackson was treating Carmelo Anthony at the end of it. I don't blame that guy for that. I don't blame him for wanting out. That's why he left.
Disgrace. Wasn't Phil gone?
Dave, it was, how can you trust the organization coming out of those Phil years? How could you trust that the Knicks were going to make the right decisions
in order to get the franchise back on track? If you force your way out of New York and you come back, I'm not going to welcome you with open arms. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to.
It wasn't one of the reasons why, I mean, one of the reasons why Phil was let go at the end was because he wanted to trade KP. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
No, he was talking about trading KP.
Marketing, remember?
Yeah. And then his brother became a real pain in the ass.
Oh, his brother was impossible. Let's take a listen. Here is the sympathetic figure that is Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, I do. I miss the city. I miss this place. A lot of great memories. Every time I come back, it's special. You know, a lot of people here still, you know, recognize me and show me love and show me support. So it's always good to come back.
Well, not me. No,
you're 7'3". I would hope they recognize you. You're 7'3" tall. Of course you miss the city. Dallas is a great city. Dallas is great. I love Dallas. I've had a ton of success in Dallas. It's not New York City.
No. Not at all.
So of course he misses it.
But he makes it sound like he was traded against his will. He forced a trade out of here. Hey, you're a loser.
And he's in a good spot. Basketball-wise, he should be in a good spot.
He's in a great spot.
Get a chance to play with Luka Doncic. You're in a good spot. He's just trying to pander to the fan base.
But shut up. I don't want to hear it.
He's still going to get booed, but that's what he's trying to avoid.
Good. He should get booed.
God, you're an animal. You are a savage.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
This was the guy that's going to save the franchise. He forced his way out. What do you want me to do? He comes back to town. Oh, Kristaps, thank you so much. What a joy you were to have here for a couple of years, so you forced your way out of town. Yeah, thank you. Great.
He wanted the star treatment. He wanted more say within the organization because he didn't want to end up like Carmelo did. That's what it was. And when the Knicks said that they're not going to give him that, he didn't feel like he could trust the organization with his future. And I mean, looking at it from my perspective, I don't know how you could blame the kid for that. I don't. As a fan, it doesn't feel good, but that's where the Knicks were at. That's how bad the Knicks organization was.
He became a product of the dysfunction. That's what happened.
It was terrible, though, the way he acted, having his brother be difficult.
No, but he was allowed to act that way. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I would say that, like, how Odell, the whole Odell thing turned out.
Mm.
Like, he was a product of the same thing. Like, I'm telling you right now, I really believe this, that if Tom Coughlin had remained the coach, like, in that moment when he acted the way that he acted, right? And he got, like, where he's ripping, you know, he's having a fight on the field, acting like a maniac. If Tom Coughlin knew he was going to be the head coach of that team the following year,
he would have disciplined him on the spot.
He handles that completely different.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And on top of that, how he handles him moving forward, I don't think it ever gets to the point where Odell would act the way that he was acting, like peeing on the field
not,
and all that other stuff.
But here's the way it is for me as a fan, and I wonder how the other Knicks fans feel with this. 800-919-3776. If you force your way out of New York and my team, you are forever dead to me. That's it. I will never root for you again. I'm not saying he's not a great player. I'm not saying the Mavs are not fun. But this whole, oh, I miss it so much, and what a great time I had there, and what a wonderful city, I don't want to hear it. Shut up.
I agree with you. I mean, the fan in me says, yeah, 100%. I'm not gonna root for Kristaps Porzingis. The player, I understand why there would be frustration and how you could miss. Like, if I was wherever, and I hated how the team was run, and it was, you know, the epitome of dysfunction, I would want to move on from that, but I would still miss, you know, my friends in that city. I'd miss the city. I'm sure there are people inside the building that you'd miss too. But you know exactly why he's saying what he's saying, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Destroying him tonight.
Because he wants to have a soft landing when he goes into the Garden tonight. But Rico, here's what I will say. I don't want our listeners or fans of the Knicks to get it confused. Like, Kristaps Porzingis was well within his rights to want to get out of this situation with the Knicks when he was here at the end of it. But the Knicks fans are also well within their rights to boo the hell out of him tonight when they play the Knicks. Like, they are well within their rights to boo him and give him all the venom and vitriol. They can do that. They absolutely can. Because this was supposed to be the guy to get the franchise turned around. And I understand that he wasn't the only reason that things didn't work out, but he was a part of it. So you can boo the hell out of him.
Yeah, and you should. And you can blame us. Walter in Harlem, you're next up on 98.7, Walter. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Walter. Hello.
Hey, you guys are the best, man. I love you, but I got a little bone to pick, man. This KP thing, man. You're mad at the wrong person, man. Don't be mad at KP. If you want to be angry at anybody, be angry at Mills and Jackson. That's where your anger should be. KP was just a guy who wanted to play for an organization that knew what they were doing. Can't blame him for that.
Well, you know what? He forced his way out, and I'm going to remember that. He forced his way out. And I've taken Mills and Jackson and Fisher and all these guys to task. I don't think they did a good job. I think they did a terrible job. But he forced his way out. How old was he when he was traded from the Knicks? 22, 23?
He was young, yeah.
I mean, he was a baby.
Yeah, but I mean, again, he saw how Carmelo was treated, and he felt at a certain point that he was now the face of the team, and he should be treated a certain way.
What does that mean? He had accomplished zero. He looked like he was going to be a good player. He wanted to be coddled?
I don't disagree with you, but he, in his opinion at that time, between him and his brother, I mean, there were certain perks that would come along with him being the face of the franchise. Which would
like if you're hiring more executives, if you're hiring a new coach, if you're hiring a new GM, maybe he should have a little more input as to what's happening in that process. Maybe. Maybe that's how he felt. That's how a lot of other star players around the NBA are treated, and he didn't have that luxury. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard to be in a position that he was in and trust that the organization is going to do right by you just after you saw how they handled Carmelo Anthony at the end of his run. Now, that's hard to do as a player. Like, I get it. I understand it. But I'm not going to sit here and defend KP and say he did everything right leading up to the eventual trade to Dallas, because he didn't.
Yeah, but there's no fan that will. There's no fan that will
take his side.
Yeah, they will understand that. Because as far as the fans concerned, I mean, this happens with. I mean, it happened with James Harden in Houston. Like, no fan wants to hear, you know, you're quitting on my team, because I'm not going to quit.
You
on my
say
team.
That, but he went back there and he didn't. He didn't get run off the court in Houston when he went back. There was some applause.
Well, there was barely anyone at the game.
Well, but still.
Well, I don't think would you say Houston and New York are the same as far as fan bases are concerned?
No, New York is a
more rabid fan base.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.